Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhaktivedanta ki, Grantaraj, Srila Bhagavatana ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Nitai Gopremanandi. So what did we discuss in last night's class?
Fear is a factor which makes everyone changes their character whenever they that, and therefore you made a point on chastisement.
And Bhaktivedanta students need to be chastised regularly. Any other points? Yeah. Good. Anything else? What's that? Anything else?
If someone is demanding what is called a devotee is basically Krishna, to relate to them directly rather than anyone else. Yeah.
Good. Any other points? Okay. So tonight we'll continue. We'll finish from verse 29 to 46. So we'll finish the chapter. What is the fourth chapter called?
Atrocities of King Kamsa.
The Atrocities of King Kamsa. What is chapter one called? What is chapter one called? The Advent of Lord Krishna. What is chapter two? Prayers by the demigods. And chapter three is? The birth of Lord Krishna. And chapter four is? Okay. So tonight we'll hear about Kamsa taking counsel from his demoniac friends. Yeah. What are the names of his demoniac friends? There's a lot of them. Chanur, yeah. Mushtika, yeah. Jarasandha, yeah. Jarasandha's probably not there. He's probably not in the assembly. You have Bakasura, Keshi, Arishta, Pralamba, Vatsa, Putana. There's so many. So one by one they will be destroyed. No? Prabhupada says that Krishna was killing the demons in Vrindavan. We'll hear about this. It'll begin soon. Next few chapters we'll hear about the first demon being killed. And then Krishna will begin to kill the demons. And then Prabhupada makes the comment that every day before lunch, Krishna would go out into the cow pastures with his friends and we'd have a picnic. So Prabhupada says, every day before lunch, Krishna would kill three or four demons. Then he would take prasad. So every day it was practically happening. Demons were coming and Krishna was killing the demons like that. But we're only hearing about the major demons in the next few chapters. We'll hear about the major demons. The first one is Putana, and then Shakata, and then Trinavata, and then we'll hear about all the different demons. Okay, so verse number 29. Tonight we'll go from 29 to 46. After that night passed, Kamsa summoned his ministers and informed them of all that had been spoken by Yogamaya, who had revealed that he who was to slay Kamsa had already been born somewhere else. Yogesh,
the Vedic scripture can be described as a Maya, the energy of the Supreme Lord, as Nitra. Durga Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Nitra Rupena. The energy of Yogamaya and Mahamaya keeps the living entities sleeping in the material world in the great darkness of ignorance. Yogamaya, the goddess Durga, kept Kamsa in darkness about Krishna's birth and misled him to believe that his enemy Krishna had been born elsewhere. Krishna was born to son of Devaki, but according to the Lord's original plan, as professed to Brahma, he went to Vrindavan to give pleasure to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and other intimate friends and devotees for 11 years. Then he would return to kill Kamsa. Because Kamsa did not know this, he believed Yogamaya's statement that Krishna was born elsewhere, not of Devaki.
So what are the points here?
The truth will not be revealed to, will be revealed only to the devotees. The truth in the sense of even Krishna or the heart of the devotees. Here, Kamsa being the other side party, so he's not realizing the actual truth or not. Yogamaya is not letting him know that the actual truth is.
Okay. Any other points?
It's good to speak the truth if it benefits the Lord.
What's that?
It's good to speak the lie if it helps the Lord. Nari, Yogamaya said that he is born somewhere else.
Yeah.
So that was a lie. But it was benefited the Lord, so this is hope.
Yeah, good point. Any other points?
From Bhagavad Gita, it says, Naham Prakashya Sarvasya Yogamaya Samaya. Basically, very relevant here. Because Yogamaya actually covers Krishna from away from demons and people who actually are not able to perceive him, I suppose. Keep them away. Right?
Good. Anything else?
So the same Yogamaya, who is the internal energy of God serving in the spiritual world, she is the shadow of her complex of as Mahamaya in the material world, and she is the Lord in the material world.
Yeah, so what does the word Maya mean?
The one which is not.
Yeah, we translate as that which is not. In other words, Maya is a state of illusion. So what is the purpose of Maya? There are two types of Mayas, Yoga Maya and Maha Maya. Maha Maya means the energy or the material energy which acts in this world. Yoga Maya means the spiritual energy which facilitates Krishna's pastimes. So both Mayas are there. There is Yoga Maya, but basically Maya by definition means illusion. Now, the Maya, both Mayas, Yoga Maya and Maha Maya, they facilitate the Lord's pastimes in order to bring the devotees closer to Krishna or to take those who are inimical away from Krishna. So in the spiritual world, everyone is a devotee. So therefore, the purpose of Yogamaya in the spiritual world is to bring everyone closer to Krishna, so that Krishna will be revealed, or Krishna will be understood. So in the spiritual world, she facilitates the devotees with the illusion, particularly in Vrindavan, that Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of the devotees thinking that Krishna is supreme, they are covered by the illusion that he is the friend, he is the beloved, or he is the son, like that. Factually speaking, he is these things to these devotees. But Yogamaya facilitates that. Just like we see the pastime where Krishna eats the earth, and then Mother Yashoda looks into the mouth, and we'll see that that'll come up in one of the following chapters. But then Yogamaya covers Mother Yashoda so that she forgets Krishna's supremacy immediately. Even Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says she doesn't even for a minute think Krishna is God. But she just, when she sees that pastime taking place, she just thinks, oh, maybe the demigods are doing something, playing some trick with me, or... But she doesn't lose her bhav. Her bhav is so powerful because she is the topmost devotee in Vatsalya bhav. She cannot even lose her attachment to Krishna for a moment. So Yogamaya covers the devotees so that they can come closer to Krishna. Mahamaya, she takes the devotees away from Krishna. In other words, if someone wants to rebel against God, if someone misuses their independence and they want to go away from Krishna, then Mahamaya facilitates that. So she covers everyone in this material world, and people forget God to the extent that some people are even atheistic. Everyone by constitution is Krishna's eternal servant. Jivara Srupahoi Krishnara Nityadas. Right? Everyone is Krishna's servant. But in the material world, people become so covered because they want to go away from Krishna. Maya, Mahamaya, she facilitates that to the degree that they completely forget about Krishna. Or that they deny that he even exists. So the same soul, which in its original form, in its pure form, is a devotee, in the material world becomes completely demoniac. And Krishna says in the Gita, if they become like that, I cast them down into demoniac species. If they want to forget me, then I fully let them, I facilitate that completely. And I put them into a birth where they are so ignorant, they will not come back for millions and millions of lives. They will not come back to consciousness of understanding me once again. So man proposes, God disposes. If you want to forget him, he'll facilitate. So in this pastime, Kamsa, he wants to forget Krishna. So to facilitate Krishna's pastimes in the material world, Yogamaya comes into the pastime and she covers everyone, covers Kamsa, covers everyone, changes the babies, right? And then Kamsa wakes up. So this is all under the influence of Yogamaya. So she's assisting the Lord in the pastimes to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. So that Kamsa can be covered, so that Kamsa does not know what is taking place, and so that Krishna can enjoy his pastimes with his devotees in Vrindavan. So Yogamaya is facilitating. In this world, she facilitates Krishna's pastimes. Mahamaya facilitates Krishna's pastimes by taking everyone away. And in the spiritual world, Yogamaya works perfectly to bring all the devotees with Krishna. So any points?
So Prabhu, is this a lila? The fact that Kamsa basically being Jai Vijay and so
No, Kamsa's not Jai Vijay. That's Dantavakra and Shishupala.
It's still, is it called a lila or is it something which is what is happening, lila is basically just to facilitate Krishna's pleasure for Krishna's pleasure. Is this what it is or is it?
It means that in the material world there are always demons. So Krishna comes to the material world. Why does he come to the material world? In the third canto, when Jai and Vijay fall, then Prabhupada explains one of the reasons why Krishna comes to the material world is to fight, to experience the rasa of chivalry. Because in the spiritual world there was only flower fights and water fights, and there's no serious fighting. No one ever gets really angry. But there's a pleasure in fighting someone to the death. Like, there's a pleasure in that. It's a rasa. It's called chivalry. So in order to experience that, then Krishna comes to the material world and these demons rise and then they fight with him. In order just to give that pleasure to him. So it's not exactly an arrangement of yoga maya. But the demon's there, and then she facilitates it there.
In the previous birth, Kamsa was Madhvacharya explains in Mahabharata. Kamsa was Kalanemi.
Yeah. So it goes back a few lifetimes like that. Whereas Jai and Vijay came from the spiritual world specifically, so it's like a different pastime.
So you said yesterday that someone who, like you said, when ISKCON's attack, then they have been punished by Krishna through Yoga Maya. So is So I was confused as well when I asked your question. So for materialist, they don't have no connection with Krishna. They are the influence of Mahamaya. And the one who gives trouble to devotees, that's where Krishna jumps in and there to make sure that that person is punished. So that's where the Yoga Maya acts in, or?
Who punishes them, Yoga Maya or Mahamaya?
Yeah.
I mean, it can be. It can be both to a degree, but Mahamaya is ultimately who punishes them. Material energy punishes them. The Krishna can arrange it, so in that sense it's Yogamaya. If Krishna gets involved, then Yogamaya is involved. But then Mahamaya on his behalf then punishes the person. Any other points?
Question would be understood. In this case, it's Yogamaya who is improving that.
Yeah, because when Krishna's pastimes are being facilitated, that's Yogamaya. When the conditioned soul's pastimes are being facilitated, that's Mahamaya. Any other point?
After hearing their master's statement, the envious asuras, who were enemies of the demigods and who were not very expert in their dealings, advised Kamsa as follows.
So, Lila Ma, you like to read them?
30.
There are two different types of men, the asuras and the suras. Tau bhuta sarkau lokos means deva asura evacha vishnu bhakta smrito deva asuras tat vipar jaya padma prana. Those who are devotees of Lord Vishnu, Krishna, asuras or devas, whereas those who are opposed to the devotees are called asuras. The devotees are expert in all transactions. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunais tatra samasate sura. Therefore, they are called kovida, which means expert. Asuras, however, although superficially showing expertise in patroning activities, are actually all fools. They are neither sober nor expert. Whatever they do is imperfect. Moha asu moha karmana. According to this description of the asuras given in Bhagavad Gita, whatever they do will ultimately be baffled. It was such persons who advised Kamsa because they were his three friends and ministers.
What are the points there?
Prabhupada mentions in his purport that the devotees are experts in all the transactions. We have been consistently hearing in Bhagavatam and other books as well that devotees should be expert in all the dealings. And we have also seen that many leaders who have come from greater leadership or management schools, etc. So materially they are well off and they have taken this and it's gone and they have brought a lot of So essentially we understand that devotees are well expert in handling any transactions.
Yeah, good. Anything else?
I don't think that.
Right, pre-every shotgun, she can say this.
One blind man is guided by another man.
Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj says. Prabhupada quotes that in a few verses.
I think in this condition, devotees are expert in pleasing Krishna.
Else.
So I was hearing a class today where 65 years he invested of his life in studying the Rig Vedas, only with the explicit goal that he wanted to prove that all the Vedas are bogus. So he invested 35 years to prove that Krishna doesn't exist, God doesn't exist. But it is mentioned that towards the end of the life, he didn't achieve it. He couldn't even prove it. So he just wasted his life. So he tried to get expertise over Sanskrit, which is meant to understand Bhagavan. Whereas he used that expertise to disprove the existence of the import was that expertise is really expertise. It is used in the service of Krishna, it is useless. It's a waste of time. They're bringing an expertise which you can't use in the service of Krishna.
Yeah, that's good. So, the verse in Prabhupada, they're explaining that a devotee is not swayed by his selfish motivations. Here's the difference. A demon like Kamsa, everything is based on their own selfish motivation. And that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. What is a devotee? What is a devotee, Brinda? What is a devotee? A devotee is someone who is selfless by definition. Ahoituki apratihata. Ahoituki means unmotivated. So the best devotee is someone who is unmotivated. So a devotee, he will not be swayed by his own selfish interest. He will do the right thing. He will always serve Krishna unconditionally. He will not change his service attitude to Krishna. Whereas a non-devotee, then he is motivated by his own selfishness, his selfish desires. So therefore, when he's serving, it will always change according to his desire for sense gratification. Whereas a devotee, he will not act like that. So that's the difference between the devotee. And we see in ourselves, how much are we motivated by service to Krishna? And how much are we motivated by sense gratification? Then the more pure we become, the more advanced we become, then the more we are motivated by serving Krishna. So, what is the defect of the demoniac civilization? They lack knowledge. Atma tattva. They don't understand their actual position. And because they lack knowledge, they're covered by the material energy, the lower modes of nature. When someone has this enlightened position, when he understands that he's Krishna's eternal servant, then he's not so covered by the lower modes of nature, by the material energy. And he has enlightenment, so he acts accordingly, he acts properly. And he's unmotivated in his activities. Whereas a non-devotee, he's always motivated. There's always some desire for sense gratification. There's a selfish interest. A devotee is known to be unselfish. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Oshanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, you know that verse, it's a famous verse. So the non-devotee, the bhukti, the mukti, the siddhi, the one who wants sense gratification or knowledge or yoga perfection, he is ashanta. He is not peaceful. But a devotee, because he's nishkama. Nishkama means without desires. Then he is shanta, he is peaceful. So if you want to be peaceful, hands up if you want to be peaceful. Then you have to become free from material desires. If you're free from material desires, you'll be peaceful. If you're not free from material desires, you will always be ashanta, always unpeaceful. So it's up to you. You want to be peaceful, you have to be free from material desires. And if you have material desires, then you will never be peaceful. That's why people are not peaceful. And non-devotees are not peaceful. And even amongst devotees. See, some of the devotees are disturbed because of material desires. But an advanced devotee, he doesn't have material desires. Therefore, he's very peaceful. And that's what the definition is of a brahmana. A brahmana is peaceful by definition. So therefore, he, by his association, others also become peaceful. Why is that? Because he's free from material desires. Any points?
We should always have the association.
Oh. Welcome, the demigods are coming. Welcome, Seishi. Please come. This is my darling daughter. Very auspicious personality. She started chanting one round every day. Of her own accord. Like that. Very.
Still feeling the birds.
Yeah, she feels it. Yeah. she can talk to all the different types of animals. special Shakti. Like that. Very good with animals. Like that. You're famous, Sesh. Any other points?
And you should always have the association of advanced devotees. And you can serve us in association of assembled people.
Yeah, Prabhupada makes his point as we go further into the chapter. So, anything else? Okay. Okay. If this is so, O King of the Bhoja dynasty, beginning today, we should kill all the children born in all the villages, towns, and pasturing grounds within the past 10 days, or slightly more. The demigods always fear the sound of your bowstring. They are constantly in anxiety, afraid of fighting. Therefore, what can they do by their endeavors to harm you? While being pierced by your arrows, which you discharged on all sides, some of them, who were injured by the multitude of arrows, but who desired to live, fled the battlefield, intent on escaping. Defeated and bereft of all weapons, some of the demigods gave up fighting and praised you with folded hands. And some of them, appearing before you with loosened garments and hair, said, O Lord, we are very much afraid of you. When the demigods are bereft of their chariots, when they forget how to use weapons, when they are fearful or attached to something other than fighting, or when their bows are broken and they have thus lost their ability to fight, your majesty does not kill them. So, what about Bandhu?
There are principles that govern human fighting. If an enemy has no chariots, is unmindful of the fighting art because of fear, or is unwilling to fight, he is not to be killed. Kamsa's ministers reminded Kamsa that despite his power, he was cognizant of the principle of fighting, and therefore he had excused the demigods because of their incapability. But the present emergency, the minister said, is not intended for such mercy or military etiquette. Now you should prepare to fight under any circumstances. Thus they advised Kamsa to give up the traditional etiquette in fighting and chastise the enemy at any cost.
Any points there? Yeah. We'll see as we finish the chapter. He's listening to the wrong people. He's influenced by the wrong people. So, I was in India a number of years ago, and one sadhu, he said to me, if you lose your money, you lose nothing. If you lose your health, you lose something. But if you lose your character, you lose everything. So Kamsa is losing his character. Yeah? He's losing his honor and his reputation. And this is demoniac consciousness. The demons are the opposite way. They think if they lose their money, they lost everything. If they lose their health, they lost something. If they lose their character, they didn't lose anything. So this is demoniac. It's upside down. So Kamsa, he is thinking, there is nothing to lose here. Even though his character, his honor, and his reputation. Krishna says in the second chapter of the Gita to Arjuna, if you lose your honor, dishonor is worse than death. If you lose your reputation amongst the society of devotees, it's worse than death. Then no one listens to you. So the most important thing for the devotee is his honor, his reputation. his character. If we lose our character, then we've lost everything. So under no circumstances should we ever compromise our character, our honor, and our reputation. These things must be kept intact at all costs. And Krishna will test us. Krishna will test. Will you keep your character? Will you keep your honor? Will you keep your reputation at all costs? He will test each one of us to see. Because he wants to see, will you do that? Because if you want to enter back into the kingdom of God, you have to be willing to keep your character, your reputation, your honor at all costs. But the demons, they're not concerned with that. They'll lose their character, they'll lose their reputation, their honor, and they're not disturbed by that. And therefore they stay in the material world, far away from Krishna. But if you want to go back, you have to change your consciousness. And Krishna will test each one of us. And he'll see, are you going to pass the test? Will you keep your honor? Will you keep your word? If you say something to another devotee, or even not known to a devotee, but especially, you say, and will you keep your word at any cost? Krishna is testing. He tests all these things. You say to a devotee, you must keep your word. If you borrow someone's pen, you have to give the pen back. It's a little thing, but Krishna is testing. Because if you don't give the pen back, then there's many other things you won't give back as well. Krishna is testing all these things.
Small my pen getting stolen.
What's that?
Small my pen getting stolen.
Your pen?
Yeah.
Gets taken along? So Krishna is testing all these things. Will you keep your word to the devotees at any cost? So we have to see. So Krishna is going to test all of us. And he's going to see what is your caliber, what is your character. Because if you don't have proper character, you can't get back into Krishna's kingdom. The only people allowed to live with Krishna are those who have proper character. You have to have Vaishnav qualities, 26 qualities of a devotee. If you don't have those qualities, you can't go and live with Krishna again. So you have to develop those things. Any points?
Well, you said the most important is the love to
him. Yeah, but if you have love for Krishna, then you will have also have the good qualities. Okay, so you see, Prabhupada had love, right? But then he also had all the other good qualities as well. So if you have love, then you'll have all the good qualities also. You can't have one without the other. You can say, well, I love Krishna, but I have all bad qualities. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah, if you have love for Krishna. But both have to be there. Simultaneously. So we have to see. Because then if we see bad qualities, that means you haven't developed love. So, anything else? Yeah. Any other points? Okay. The demigods boast uselessly while away from the battlefield. Only where there is no fighting can they show their prowess. Therefore, from such demigods, we have nothing to fear. As for Lord Vishnu, he is in seclusion in the core of the hearts of the yogis. As for Lord Shiva, he has gone to the forest. And as for Lord Brahma, he is always engaged in austerities and meditation. The other demigods, headed by Indra, are devoid of prowess. Therefore, you have nothing to fear. It just gets worse and worse in this chapter. Jagannath Ram Prabhu.
Kamsa's ministers told Kamsa that all the exalted demigods had fled in fear of him. One had gone to the forest, one to the core of the heart, and one to engage in tapasya. Thus you can be free from all fear of demigods. They said, just prepare to fight.
So any points in this?
Just like Shakuni was advising. If we have bad advice,
Shakuni
was advising Dhritarashtra all the time. So if we have bad advisors, they are not our well wishers. Maybe we be careful who we take advice from. should take advice from envious personalities.
Yeah, Shakuni was a little motivated. Because Duryodhana punished the family, so therefore he was getting him back. So he was actually a good-hearted person, but he wanted to bring Krishna and the Pandavas in to destroy him. So, but the point is good.
So what is this story?
A little bit long story. So we haven't got time. If you get into the Mahabharata, you're finished.
Yeah.
Mahabharata pastimes take long time to explain, so we don't have time to explain them.
Even Ravan was advised.
Yeah, Prabhupada discusses this point as the chapter goes on. So we see that because of pride and because of ignorance, the demons do not fear exalted personalities. It's pure insanity. He's insulting Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the most powerful demigod. I mean, if Lord Shiva came, Kamsa would be destroyed. Lord Brahma, who is the most exalted personality, and even Vishnu, God himself. This is the nature of the demons. They say, this is what Hiranyakashipu said in the 7th canto. Where is he? Where is he? This is the way the demons think. The demons always speak very boldly when Krishna is not present. They'll always say everything. When Krishna's not there, they'll say, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Like that. But then smash the pillar and then he comes out. And everything changes.
It's like
that. Yeah. You'll say everything until the person actually comes. So this is the nature of demoniac consciousness. And actually, the people who teach us, the best motivational speakers and the best life coaches and all these things, they actually teach very nice principles. One principle is, you never say something negative about a person that you would not say directly to their face. And we all do that. We're all guilty of that. When they're not there, I will say so many things. They walk in the room and then, we change. But actually, someone who has real character will not say something about the person that he would not say when they're actually present. He won't say different things. And that's what the demons are like. And you see Kamsa, Vishnu is not there, Shiva is not there, Brahma. So they say so many things. Oh, we can destroy them and we can fight with them. But if they actually come, everything will change immediately. It's demoniac consciousness. Demoniac consciousness gives birth to pride. Pride is one of the symptoms of a demon. If you go to this 16th chapter, Krishna opens the chapter with the divine qualities. I mean, as soon as he starts with the demoniac qualities, one of the first things he says is pride. Pride is a demoniac quality. It's based in ignorance, the lower modes of nature. Any points?
Yes, Jagannath Prabhu said he was guided by Shakuni, but he was guided by Vidura as well, but he did not take advice from him. He was, because his desire was such that he took advice from him and he took his instruction rather than taking his well-wisher Vidura and Bhishma Pitama.
His own heads.
Yeah, but then he didn't listen.
Did not listen. Yeah. Huh? Does this sound like you sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah. Get a lot of good advice and you still don't listen. My daughter is not like that. She always listens when I say something. But most people are not like that. We are not like that. We get good advice and still we don't listen. That's demoniac consciousness. Okay. Nonetheless, because of their enmity, our opinion is that the demigods should not be neglected. Therefore, to uproot them completely, Engage us in fighting with them, for we are ready to follow you. Nila Gopa.
According to moral instructions, one should not neglect to extinguish fire completely, treat diseases completely, and clear debts completely. Otherwise, they will increase and later be difficult to stop. Therefore, the ministers advise council to uproot his enemies completely.
So, any points here?
They're using the philosophy in the power to...
To suit their own desires. Anything else?
A small instance in Ramayana where Sri Rama and Lakshman went with Vishwamitra for protecting his Yajna. So Maricha and Subhagu were there primarily. Like Subhagu was killed and Maricha was left. You see Ram's history throughout any of his dealings. He was always leaving some, he was not completing the overall act what he is supposed to do. Of course, it is a part of a Leela which gives a lesson to us that we have to complete, because that lead to, that led to, in fact, Maricha came coming back as a deer. And so, anything that we leave will automatically rise and give us more problems.
Yeah, it's an important point. So, this is Chanakya's lessons. Chanakya says three things you never neglect. What are the three things that you never neglect? Chanakya says fire. Right? You don't neglect fire. If there's fire, you put it out immediately. Otherwise, you leave it, you come back, and then the house is gone. Right? Disease. Right? You never let disease go. If you're a little bit sick, immediately you treat it. Analyze it. That's the Ayurveda. You know, because if you don't, you have some little disease, but then if you don't treat it, then it turns into a big thing. Interesting, because we've said many times when over the years we've discussed health. Prabhupada took all the Western devotees to India, 1970, and they were all getting sick. Right? And then they were spending so much money on medicine. So then Prabhupada, he was getting disturbed because so much money had been wasted on medicine. So then when they came to ask for money for medicine, Prabhupada made a rule. He said, first you have to fast for 3 days, right? And then if you're still sick, I'll give you money. So it means a lot of our health issues can be absolved just by fasting. Like today I'm not eating. You know, I just take, I try to do 1 day a week, I just don't take, I just drink water, that's it. Right? Keeps the health, it revitalizes the health. So disease must always be dealt with, fire and debt. If you have a debt, pay it off immediately. Otherwise, expense. Credit cards are very dangerous. Interest, yeah. Actually, they gave the figures. I heard the figures on the radio. How much credit card debt Australia has? It's something like $2 billion, or I can't remember. It might be bigger. I can't remember what it is, but ridiculous amount. Everyone's just living on money they don't even have. Yeah. And especially after Christmas. You know, Christmas, everyone goes into debt because everyone just buys everything on their credit card, all the things that you don't really want anyway. Right? And they spend so much money and everyone goes into debt. So he says three things: fire, disease, and debt. You must always deal with immediately. And now there's one more which is given here in the Bhagavad Gita: enemies. Right? Enemies must be dealt with immediately. Right? Prabhupada made this point: you always keep one eye on your enemies. Right? If someone's giving you trouble, you always one eye. It's like when you go to Vrindavan. Prabhupada taught us, how do you deal with the monkeys? Prabhupada said, when you're in Vrindavan, right? He said, don't make friends with them, don't make enemies with them. You make friends with them, they won't leave you alone. You make enemies with them, they won't leave you alone. So Prabhupada said, when you go to Vrindavan, with the monkeys, you look, you make eye contact with them, you look at them, and you say, I know you're there, right? And then you ignore them. Right? So same with an enemy. You always have to make contact. I know you're there, I know what you're up to. Right? So with enemies, you have to be like that too. Usually as devotees, we don't have so many enemies. But sometimes people, they give trouble to ISKCON or something, you have to watch them all the time. So here, we're being taught, always watch the enemy, otherwise they cause so many problems. Any points? As a disease, if initially neglected, becomes acute and impossible to cure, or as the senses, if not controlled at first, are impossible to control later, an enemy, if neglected in the beginning, later becomes insurmountable. So now the Bhagavad Gita adds another category. Something you have to be very careful of is your senses. Because if you don't control your senses from the beginning, they become very difficult to control. The mind and the senses. What does Rupa Goswami say in the Upadeshamrita? Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. Urges, or the senses, are very difficult to control. Therefore, you have to control them from the beginning of spiritual life. If you don't control them, they cause so many problems. And the Bhagavad Gita has already said back in the first canto, a great deal of the disease which people have in Kali Yuga is because of uncontrolled senses. You see, in Kali Yuga, everyone is sick. Everyone's always taking pills and going to the hospital. I hardly ever go to the doctors. I go to the doctors maybe once every 10 years, maybe. Something like that. Very rare. I might go once a year to get a checkup, or every 6 months to get a checkup, but not because I'm sick, generally. So, why do we get sick? Basically, the Rupa Prabhupada explained in the first canto, when your senses are not controlled. If you don't control your senses, yes, you will get sick. You'll get disease. But if you control your senses, then you'll always be healthy. So now another category is being added. Sense control is necessary. If you don't do that from the beginning, so many problems. Burujan Prabhu told me that in 1994 or 95 or 96. I was a young devotee. I was only like 25, 26 years old. He said, control your senses now. Control your eating now. Otherwise, later on it will cause problems. And I didn't listen to him. And now, I don't have big problems, but you know, some problems are there. I remember sometimes I used to eat 4 liters of ice cream in one, you know, like 4 liters bigger. And Chicharupa might have used to make ice cream, right? And then at the end of the feast, there'd be a whole tub left. I'd take it to the ashram and eat the whole thing. 4 liters. Right? That's not very good for the health. Now I'm suffering because of, you know, doing those things 20 years ago. But if we're intelligent, we should. The other thing is the temple authority should make sure the prasadam is healthy. It's actually a fact. The amount of times I've had conversations with the authorities, I've heard them saying, half the time the temple managers don't even eat at the temple because they say it's not healthy enough. Then why is it like that? That doesn't even really make so much sense. So basically, prasadam should be healthy. I went to that Wada farm outside of Mumbai. They have that farm, and the prasadam there was perfect. It was healthy, but it was tasty. It was just perfect prasadam. The whole of ISKCON should be cooking like that. You know, you feel like you want to eat more because it's nice, but it's not rich. It's like, that's how prasadam should be. Yeah, deep fried is for feasts. Prabhupada said once a week we can have a feast. Prabhupada said that, but the rest of the week you eat simple. Rice style chapati subject. Prabhupada came to Sydney in 1972, and devotees were having halava for lunch. Not just halava, but you know, halava. You know, they like, and then that big bowl of halava at the end. Prabhupada said, no. So that's once a week. That's Sunday feast. Once a week you can eat like that. Not every day. Stop it. And then Prabhupada left and they kept doing it. And it's not good for the health. Once a week you can do that.
Sometimes they put so much tea, they are dripping. And I was told the temple president, and he said, the ghee is too much on tea.
If what?
He said, if the ghee is too much, don't eat.
That's one answer. Hopefully it'll change one. Prasadam is better than what it used to be. Still needs to be. Okay. The foundation of all the demigods is Lord Vishnu, who lives and is worshipped wherever there are religious principles. Traditional culture, the Vedas, cows, brahmanas, austerities, and sacrifices with proper remuneration. Sharada Rata, you like to?
Here is a description of Sanatana Dharma. Eternal religious principles, which must include Brahmanical culture, Brahmana sacrifices, and religion. These principles establish the kingdom of Vishnu. Without the kingdom of Vishnu, the kingdom of God, no one can be happy. Nate Hindu Swata Gatiam in Vishnu. In this demonic civilization, people unfortunately do not understand that the self-interest of human society lies in Vishnu Duraseya E Bahir Atmanina. Thus, they are involved in a hopeless hope. People want to be happy without God consciousness or Krishna consciousness, because they are led by blind leaders who lead human society to chaos. The Asuric adherents of Kansa wanted to disrupt the traditional condition of human happiness and thus defeat the Devadas, the devotees and demigods. Under the devotees and demigods predominate, the asuras will increase and human society will be in a chaotic condition.
So, what are the points?
So, the followers of Kansa, they are trying to lead Krishna, lead Kansa to the opposite direction of the practical.
Anything else?
British people rule over India. Their major weapon was attacking the medical culture. All other things were just not so significant.
So what do we call them?
Of course, nowadays the Indians themselves are doing it. You can't blame the Britishers alone.
Anything else?
So we need devotee people in the leadership space or in the political space to drive the society the nation in a proper way. Yeah. And have a financial layer who can assess them from that's when proper vision is to have a financial layer here from this country. Mm. Should be formed.
Yeah, that's good. So the Bhagavad Gita is saying here, there cannot be any peace and happiness unless you have these things in place. This is a very important list, right? The foundation is Lord Vishnu. So unless Krishna is there, unless people are worshipping God or Krishna, you'll never have peace in the world, right? But now the list gets more involved. Wherever there are religious principles, what are religious principles called in Sanskrit? Dharma. Yeah, if there's no dharma, if people don't follow the teachings of Krishna, there'll never be peace and happiness. People say, I believe in Krishna, but I don't follow his teachings. Just like we're at the Sunday feast at the farm, it was a few years ago, and one man was there. And he said, I'm a brahmana, but I eat meat. And I said, what is that? No such thing. And he said, no, there is a type of brahmana that eats meat. So that's not dharma. So because there's not dharma, then there can never be peace and happiness in that kind of civilization. So there must be Krishna, there must be Dharma, traditional culture. What does traditional culture mean? This means the Varnashram system. There's things that we do, right? Prabhupada gave us rules and regulations. Sometimes devotees say there are so many rules. Prabhupada said, if I told you all the rules, you would faint. Prabhupada didn't give us so many rules. Prabhupada gave us some rules, but what's actually there in the Vedas, we don't follow so much. We just follow the very basic things. You know, putting on tilak and just like basic things. We don't do all the rituals and like that. So there is a reason. Prabhupada said they are rules, they are small rules, and if you do not follow them, where is the proof that you love Krishna? Just like we're meant to not eat grains on a Ekadashi. So it's a small thing that we're asked to do, but some devotees don't follow it strictly. But we're asked to do that, right? And if you don't do that, it will contaminate your consciousness. These are just like simple things, but we should follow these simple things. There's certain things that we must do, and if you follow those rules, you become purified. So these are the things that is called Vedic culture, or ancient culture, Varnashram system. So we have to follow the Lord, Dharma, traditional culture, the Vedas. Where do we learn everything from? From the Vedas. So the Veda says something and we do not follow that, then we become contaminated in consciousness. Right? The cows. You have to worship the cows. They have to be maintained and sustained. There cannot be any peace in society. And this was Prabhupada's main point. Whenever you hear Prabhupada preaching, right, to Western people, whenever, practically, Prabhupada is always on this one point. Why are you killing the cows? There can never be peace in society. There will never be peace in society as long as the cows are not looked after. The brahmanas. Brahmanas means peaceful people, saintly people, learned people who understand the Vedas and practice the Vedas. If they're not protected, how can society be peaceful? Right? Austerities. You cannot have peace in society unless people do austerity. So what does austerity mean? Prabhupada said, you fast on Ekadashi. You don't take grains on Ekadashi. That's an austerity. Or Janmashtami. Janmashtami, you don't eat until midnight. And sometimes see devotees, they start taking prasad midday. How can you be peaceful if you can't do a little austerity to please Krishna? And sacrifices with proper remuneration. There has to be jagya with proper remuneration. What is the jagya in this day and age?
Sankirtan.
So what do you do? You ask the devotees, come to my house, we'll do Sankirtan together. And then you have to give proper remuneration. What is that?
Prasadam.
If everyone comes to your house and they don't get fed properly, right, then... But everything will become peaceful and auspicious, right? When we do jagya, we all chant together and we give everyone proper prasad. And then everything becomes peaceful. You know, I've been in ISKCON for a number of years. My life is very peaceful. Why? Because I associate with devotees who follow these principles. You go to devotees' houses, the devotees chant and they give you prasad and everything's peaceful. That's it. Yeah, it's easy. Simply. So these are the principles. So Kamsa wants to stop all of this. Yeah? And who's running the government now? Little Kamsas. It's true. They're little Kamsas. And they're not doing these things? And is society peaceful?
No.
No. And then who's going to run for the president of America next year? Yeah, the biggest Kamsa. Right? And if he gets in, there'll be big trouble. Because this person is, he's not following any of these things. Right? All of these things, he doesn't follow any of them. So how can, I mean, you listen to them speaking, and they keep putting it on the news. You listen to them speaking, they're not saying anything about God. They don't say anything about cows. They don't say anything about brahmanas. Nothing about austerity. And nothing about doing jagya with proper enumeration. So how do they expect peace? So they're useless. Because if society is not peaceful, it means the government is useless. Prabhupada would just criticize. Prabhupada was always criticizing. You know, because where's the result? Where's the peace? You talk about peace, but there's no peace. Because right? You're neglecting all these things.
So the Brahmana is supposed to be the head of the
society.
Got the head of the society. The society is that.
Yeah, that's the problem. O King, we who are your adherents in all respects shall therefore kill the Vedic Brahmanas and persons engaged in offering sacrifices and austerities, and the cows that supply milk from which clarified butter is obtained for the ingredients of sacrifice. So what does this sound like? The demons are all saying to Akamsa, kill the cows and the Brahmanas. And if you look at the world these days, what's taking place? Exactly that. They kill the cows, right? In some countries, they even kill devotees. Devotees have died, right? Been killed by the government and other people. So how do you expect society to be peaceful, right? Demons are saying exactly what the Bhagavatam says to do. The demons are doing exactly the opposite. They kill the cows and they kill the devotees. So then how is it expected to? There cannot be peace. And Prabhupada would always say this. As long as you kill the cows, there will never be peace. And Prabhupada said, as long as you kill the cows, there will always be war. Always. And if you look around the earth, so many wars that are, in Syria and all these places like that. And it will come to Australia too. One day it will come. Australia will have big war one day. Because we kill second most cows in the world, we kill. The only country that kills more cows than us is India. No, they're not first. Australia is second, India's probably third or something like that.
I think the Prime Minister has stopped it. No, it stopped.
In India?
Yeah, they said that.
He's talking about it, yeah.
No, they have stopped it.
All cows are not being killed?
Yeah, so if anybody finds out that they have killing, they will be prosecuted.
Is it happening?
Yeah, it's happening. But he's meeting with stiff resistance.
Opposition.
Opposition, yeah.
He's bringing it down. Okay, that's good. That's good, yeah. That's good.
But the thing is, the Vansa is getting all the money from Nal Maharaj, who owns all everything, butter and everything.
Yeah.
So if he kills the cow, and how is he getting all the things?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no logic in what they do. The Brahmanas, the cows, the Vedic knowledge, austerity, truthfulness, control of the mind and senses, faith, mercy, tolerance, and sacrifice are the different parts of the body of Lord Vishnu, and they are the paraphernalia for a godly civilization. So these are very beautiful verses in Bhagavatam, telling us exactly what we should cultivate in human society, individually and as humans. So the Bhagavatam is saying, and Prabhupada points out in the purport, that to establish these principles, we will meet with great opposition. Prabhupada says that in the purport. He says, when you start preaching all these things, cow protection, tolerance, all these things, he said, you will get opposition. So Prabhupada said, we must be prepared to fight. And he said, because it will be a fight. And Prabhupada even says, in the future, there will be a fight between the devotees and the non-devotees, a war. This will happen in the future. Maybe not for many years from now. Maybe not while we're alive. But he said one day there will be a war between devotees and non-devotees to establish all these things. We have to fight. Just like Kurukshetra all over again. And Prabhupada said that's the only way. So we have to be prepared to fight. Prabhupada said back in the 70s, 75 or so, they had the brainwashing cases. They were taking ISKCON to court. Prabhupada said, you have your opinion, I have mine, let's fight. That was Prabhupada's mood. If you're going to take us to court, then we'll fight. And ISKCON won. Prabhupada never backed down. He said, we will fight them like that. But we won the cases. So we have to be in that mentality. To spread this movement, we have to be determined, because they're going to try to stop us. The only reason they're not stopping us now is because we're so small, we're not really doing anything. We just say, you know, some little temple down now will pop. But if we actually get big, they'll oppose us strongly. So we have to have that mentality ready to challenge.
Do you think they will become that big?
Us? Mm-hmm. One day, yeah. We have to.
I think the Lord has to come like Kalki of that.
Yeah, that's later on. There's a period where ISKCON becomes big. It's predicted. Lord Vishnu, the Supersoul within the core of everyone's heart, is the ultimate enemy of the Asuras and is therefore known as Asura Dwit. He is the leader of all the demigods because all the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, exist under his protection. The great saintly persons, sages and Vaishnavas also depend upon him. To persecute the Vaishnavas, therefore, is the only way to kill Vishnu. So these demons are crazy. And you see what happens to them. Krishna kills them each one by one. He kills all of them. And it's not very pretty. You know, wait till we get to Arishtasura. You know, the way Krishna, even in the Bhagavatam, the way it's mentioned, he kills him, it's much worse actually. You know, the bull demon. When Krishna actually kills him, Vishnu says what he actually does to him, it's not good. I mean, it's good, but it's not pretty. It's not pretty. He kills him, really annihilates him. So this is what Krishna's like. If someone's a demon, Krishna will destroy them.
But and honestly, they say that he is in everybody's heart.
Yeah.
So why is he not in consultation?
Yeah, he's in everyone's heart, but they're demons. They say one thing, but then they do the other thing. Demons don't make any sense. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus having considered the instructions of his bad ministers, Kamsa, who was bound by the laws of Yamaraj and devoid of good intelligence because he was a demon, decided to persecute the saintly persons, the brahmanas, as the only way to achieve his own good fortune. So Prabhupada points out in this purport that Kamsa was being influenced by the other demons around him. So we have to choose our association very carefully. Hiranyakashipu actually says this in the 7th canto, you are a product of your association. Just like a crystal, they used to have crystals there, but you've seen the chandeliers in the temple, there's crystals there. So a crystal takes on the color of the object which is close by. You put something green, the crystal turns green. You put something blue, it turns blue. So we all become exactly like who we associate with. So if you associate with devotees, you'll become a devotee. If you associate with non-devotees, right, you'll become a non-devotee. So Kamsa, even though he said all of this knowledge in the previous part of the chapter, but now when he's with all the demons, they influence him. And you'll see later in this canto, even devotees become demoniac by association. So you have to be very careful who you associate with.
These advisors are just like the teaching of
Hiranyakashipu. Yeah.
The same.
Yeah. These demons, the followers of Kamsa, were expert at persecuting others, especially the Vaishnavas, and could assume any form they desired. After giving these demons permission to go everywhere and persecute the saintly persons, Kamsa entered his palace. Surcharged with passion and ignorance and not knowing what was good or bad for them, the Asuras, for whom impending death was waiting, began the persecution of the saintly persons. My dear king, when a man persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings and promotion to higher planets will be destroyed. So this It doesn't just mean killing someone. But if you offend a devotee, right, this is what you lose. You lose your longevity, your beauty, your fame, your religion, your blessings and promotion on higher planets. Even if you offend a non-devotee, if you do any pap, any sinful activity, or all these things become reduced. And if you do pious activities, punya, and if you do bhakti, then bhakti is the most powerful. By doing devotion, everything increases. Srila Prabhupada ki.